Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, hey. Good morning. Hallelujah. Good morning. It's a great day. It's a great year. It's a great month even. It's a great everything. And you know why? Because you are now on the Showways Global Vision for Living Today. And it's going to take vision. And some might even say it's going to take more than a vision to get through what we're going through now on planet Earth. But hey, fear not. If you don't remember anything else that this show has to say today to encourage you, fear not, because we're going to talk about the subject of the hour. And we started last week. What can I do to make my life worth living? Part two. Many are feeling that there's no way out, there's nothing to hope in. You know, I've heard that, I've heard this, I've been there, I've done that, and nothing has changed. Things have gotten worse. But wait a minute. There's another small, still voice that we need to be listening to. And that's what we're going to discuss today, because right now it appears that it's God versus man. It has always been the clear decision to obey the voice of the universe. But it appears that man is losing on his side. Is a life in shambles and fear and sickness and nearing death worth living? Well, if not, something happened. Or what happened? What happened? 70 or 80 years of promised life, even with special mightiness? Or what happened? Something happened. There must be more to this picture, and it is. So we're happy that you're tuned in to continue to march to the beat for which we are called, but few chosen. What a statement. Have you been called? Who called you? How do you know someone called you? Was there a voice? What did they say? Why did they call you? I mean, oh my God, what are you called for? We're going to talk about that. And you know, we always have our illustrious guest, Colonel William Harrison, on the show. He's been a fixture on the show for the past year, and we certainly are grateful for his comments. The great sage called 12, and I have called one, and that is going to give us some information on this subject. But now, Colonel Harrison, are you with us?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Capitino, listening audience. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. And,
you better be, because you know what?
Yeah,
we need some answers. We need some answers. And you know, you've been hitting very hard the last few months. So our topic, thank you, sir. What can I do to make my life worth living? Well, we want to hear from you. I know you talk to several, 100 people a month. You're out there in the field, so to speak, of life, and you are experiencing things that most men won't, and that is having people want your advice, want to hear what you have to say on world events, and most of all, want to know how to make their life better. So our show topic, again, is what can I do to make my life worth living? Now, this is part two. We kind of broached on it last week, but now what are your thoughts on this? People are hearing bad news. They can't get the food that they want. They can't be out in the parks, on the beaches, in the streets like they used to. What advice can we give? And if we don't even say advice, I'll change that. What words of encouragement do we have for people that want to know how to make their life worth living? And that's a big topic.
Excellent, Doctor. Good morning, Dr. Capitino, again, and listening audience. It's a great topic. What can I do to make my life worth living? One thing we have to do is find contentment within oneself. Find contentment within oneself. We have a situation that's worldwide that's generating fear. I don't have the spirit of fear, because fear causes torment. I'm going to work my way into the question. Fear causes torment. Torment means it causes physical and mental stress. And when we're stressed, we can't function well, we can't eat well, we can't do things well. And so the former president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, I think back in the 40s or so, might have been even the early 1950s, he said, the only thing to fear is fear itself. And this country was at war at that time. And that gave the Americans, American people encouragement, and the soldiers that were fighting in World War II, encouragement to move forward and to hold on, to help one another. So things we can do to make our life better or make life worth living is to first become secure within ourselves. Don't develop the spirit or the nature of fear. Secondly, reach out. Seek other people who, if you need resources, seek other people who have resources that can help you with resources that you need. And I find that during times like this, people are more open, more receptive, more given, more loving, in terms of supportive of helping one another. So reach out to other people that in your neighborhood, in your communities, and so forth and so on. I understand there's restrictions in certain communities and quarantines and those kinds of things. I understand that, but you still have an opportunity to go to the drugstore, pharmaceutical, or go to a grocery store, what have you. So you can reach out. Do not have a spirit of fear. Enjoying yourself with someone else, whether it's a family member or someone in your community, tap into them, because what causes fear, and I'm about to just pause for a moment, what causes fear is isolation. When we are isolated by ourselves or we don't have an understanding of what is going on, then that causes fear. So I just want to pause for a moment.
Okay, well, while that fear comment is right on target, we want to zero in on the individual, making their life worth living. So you're saying don't be afraid. Oh, okay. That's very easy to say, depending on the personality of that person that you're talking to and, of course, of where he or she might be at this particular point in their life. And I know you come from a background of law enforcement, and I know you guys have an opportunity when someone is upset, you know, they want to talk about killing themselves, jumping off a building, jumping off a bridge. That would be a hard sell, because you only have moments, you have seconds to talk that person out of doing that. So, and then once that is done, I think the fear element is gone, because if they're standing up on a 10-story bridge getting ready to jump off, oh no, I don't guess they're afraid. I think I would, but I don't think they're afraid. So these people that might be listening that feel that, you know, I got a good job, you know, now it's not coming to anything. You know, I've been able to send my daughter to college, and now, you know, she's flopping out there. There's nothing there. My wife, you know, done all I could for 200,000 years, and she's still not satisfied. You know, we're still not walking down the same street. We're looking down the same street, but we are walking. Well, what can we tell these people? I've done everything. I've been everywhere in the world. I got everything. I got everything hanging in my closet. I'm not happy. What can I do to make my worth living? I don't even know what I should do. What are some of the steps that these people can take? Yeah, I know you said tap into others. That's very good, but you got to stay 6 feet distance away from them, according to our president. And you said be around others and don't isolate yourself. Well, our president has said practice self-isolation. So right now, here today, and it is March 21st, what are some things we can tell our listening audience that will make them feel very good about themselves, if but for a moment? And what can they do to rise up and say, okay, you know what, I'm sad, sick, sorry. My daddy used to say, you know, I'm broke, black, and disgusted. So what can we tell them? What words can we give them to lift them up where they can say, yes, I can do that? You know what? That sounds like it makes sense. I can do that. And whether it makes sense or not, if it's something that can dig them out of the hole, yeah, I think I can handle that. Colonel Hanson, what can people do to make their life worth living? Let's go over the steps again, 1, 2, 3. I'm going to jump in there and say, number one, first, get on up and get out. Okay, that's what my dad used to say, get up and get out. They would come stand there, talk about 2 hours, she this, she this, she that. And he would say, get up and get out. And that was it. He said, oh, and get me a cup of coffee on your way out, like that. So practically, people are afraid. They are scared. No amount of words will take fear away. You mentioned the supernatural power of God that said, you know, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. But then who was he talking to? Was he talking to the Sanhedrin? Was he talking to the 12? Was he talking to Peter and James? So we would have to really, you know, Scott would get all the way down into that to find out who he was talking to, because once he went through the marketplaces preaching and teaching, very seldom was anyone, you know, able to come up to him. They'd have to be brought to him. The apostles would bring somebody to him, and then he would lay hands or say, take up your cot and walk. So let's kind of get into that. What do you tell people when they come and say, you know what, I'm going to kill myself in 2 days. You know, I feel like committing suicide. I'm doing everything in the world, ain't doing no good. I'm sick and tired of this, sick and tired of that. What would you tell that person? Not a group, not a whole parcel of people. That one person, what if they came and they said that? My life isn't worth a living. And if I don't do something to make my life worth living, I'm going to kill myself. Okay, I'm going to take a little pill. I'm going to kill myself. I'm sick of this. Okay, what would you say to that person?
With regard to that, doctor, what I did when we were in law enforcement and what the psychiatric hotline does is they have counselors that talk to people and try to keep them occupied on the line until they can get to where they are. In law enforcement, we did the same thing. We were trained in judo verbal judo, meaning to talk to people to occupy them, take their mind off of what their intentions of committing suicide until such time as we could get closer to them, or the emergency medical technicians could get closer to them to extract them, whether they want a building or whatever it may have been. I'm leading up to something here. The 38 years, and I'm going to get to some points in a minute. The 38 years I was in law enforcement, there were times when I had anxiety. There's a difference between anxiety and fear. There was times when my life was in danger, and there was time when I was on the cusp of fear, but I realized that if I lost it, if I feared, it could cause me to panic and not react based on the training that I had received, which could cause me my life or the life of some innocent bystander I was trying to protect. So I'd learned to not fear, have anxiety, but tap into my inner strength to overcome becoming fearful so I could perform my police duties. And for that reason, that cause, by the grace of Jehovah, I was able to endure for 38 years. Now, let me say this. In regards to those who are fearful, have anxiety, or need someone to talk to because they're threatening to harm themselves, there's a hotline, and they got to get help right away. And hopefully they're in the house where someone can help them. And if not, there's some people, unfortunately, regrettably, have committed suicide, and that's a terrible thing. But for those that still can be reached, for those who aren't at that point, this isolation we're having with this coronavirus, tap into social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Connect with people. We're sociable creatures by virtue of the fact that we're human beings. We're accustomed to see, feel, and touching, hearing, interacting with each other. So the 6-foot distance now is just for now. It's going to last for a period of time till we get past this disease, this pestilence, this virus. But we got electronic mediums now that you can use to interact with people. So you don't have to be isolated. You don't have to be alone. And this is what I've been passing on in the church. This is what I've been indicating. This is what I've been advocating. And this is basically what I also do.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, because we're not talking about fear on this show today. People are in Florida in bikinis on the beach. They're not afraid of anything. And I could go all across the nation. People are still going and coming. They're still driving their cars. They're still trying to get their hands on something to eat. We're talking about the individual. What can they do to make their life worth living? Number one, they need to turn to a source higher than them. I'm going to say a couple, and then I want you to come in on this. We're not talking about fear, getting out of fear, I'm not afraid, and all that. What can I do to make my life worth living? Part two. Number one, I know you said you can tap into others. Number one, you can go within the chamber of your heart and ask the creator that created you, God in heaven, wherever you're at, help me. I've lost my way. I don't know what to do now with my life. I've done everything. I've had everything. What do I do now? I'm not feeling happy. I'm not feeling contented. I got two eyes. I got two hands, two arms. God, use me. Here I am. Send me. So that person that wants to have a life worth living has to make sure that the creator that created him with a blueprint for his life is able to help him follow that. So these people that might feel that their life isn't worth living, then turn around, like my dad used to say, the late great Bishop Mims, go back, get off where you got off, get back on. When they came, they were disillusioned. I don't know what I'm going to do. Many people that feel their life isn't worth living, they feel that way because they've lost their way. They figure there's nothing to do. Everything I do, it don't work. Everything I say, it don't work. Everywhere I go, it doesn't work. So I would feel disillusioned myself. Well, then what am I doing here, scuffling and hustling and every other day it's the issues, this and that? I'm not stupid. I would say to myself, you know what? I'm checking out of this BS. You know, I'm out of here. But that would not be for advice that I would want to give the rest of the world. And I would not want to do that because to the same person, if there's anybody sane living upon the earth right now, that was not something that would be a good idea. So, number one, you know what? You have to make sure that you're on the pathway that the creator wanted you on. That's number one, because until you find out, until you reach up and ask the Savior to help you, you are not going to have a life worth living. You're going to wonder and wander, and you're going to be in all kinds of problems. So you've got to be guided, and you have got to be led by higher power. That is number one if you want to make it worth living. And number two, humble ourselves. A lot of people now walking the earth, they're not humble. I got money, I got a home, I got this, so I'm going to do what I want. That's not a life worth a living. To make sure, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that is not a life worth living. So, Colonel Harrison, can you give us a couple of more? Give us two or three more things a person can do to make their life worth living. We're not talking about them being afraid and trying to outrun fear. I don't have a spirit of fear. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What we're talking about is when you get up in the morning, what am I going to do to make my life worth living? Is there a couple of other ways you can think of?
Yes. You mentioned God, get up and get out. Excellent. You also mentioned humble yourself. And then you said turn to a higher power. Turn to a higher power, the higher power being God, Jehovah, Allah. Then I would say not only turn to him, seek God. Seek God. Seek Jehovah. Seek Allah.
Yes.
Him for yourself. If things you've been doing that have not worked and you feel that things are perishing and you don't feel life is worthwhile, then you have to seek a power that's higher and greater than man and woman. Whether one wants to believe it or not, there he is. It was years before I came to the understanding and came to the reasoning through research, through studying the Bible and other reference books, and earth and all the ramifications of how it began, the creation of heaven and earth and everything. Someone made something that's greater than man, and that someone name is God, or Jehovah, or Allah. Seek him, get to know him, tap into him. He will lead and direct your steps, your path. He will guide you to all truth. He will bring you from where you are, wherever you may be, from nowhere to somewhere. We just have to be humble enough, as Doc said, get rid of our arrogance, get rid of our philosophy, get rid of our foolishness, get rid of our hindsight, and seek him. I rather believe, my philosophy was, as I'm about to pause, I rather believe there is a God and get to where his resident is, where his home is, where his dwelling place is called heaven. And I rather believe there is a God here on earth and get to heaven and find out there isn't, than believe here on earth there isn't a God and get to heaven and find out there he is. So there is a God. There is a God, and we have to seek him. Search for him. I'll pause.
Oh, my God, that is so powerful. That is something that I think we all can take note of, and, of course, get the marching orders in that area, because, you know, when you start talking about your life worth living, you mentioned this higher power, Jehovah, God, and Allah, and Native American, walking, talking, you know, these are spirits. And so if a person wakes up one morning and or go to bed one night and say, oh, you know, my life isn't worth living, then there's a manual. There's a manual. You buy a washing machine, there's a operator's manual. You get a TV, you get an operator's manual. You buy a car, you get a big, thick book that hardly anyone ever reads, that's in the glove compartment. Every aspect of our life, there's instructions that come with whatever we want to do. If you want to fly to Hong Kong, there's some instructions you've got to look at before you do it. You know, if you want to jump in a swimming pool, there's a way the pool manufacturer says you ought to do it off of that diving board. So that can apply to the human species. Upon our creation, there was a manual. There was a spoken manual. Spoken manual. Nothing was in writing at that time. Spoken manual on how we were as people to conduct our lives. So it makes sense. Oops, you know what? That sounds right. Then that means, Colonel Harrison said, you know, tapping into, and, you know, we're going to be talking about tapping, because, you know, when you say tapping, well, how do you do that? So as he said, you know, tapping into this the higher power. That's number one. Colonel Harrison did not create ourselves. There's a creator. And there's a scripture that says it is he in the masculine. So women, shut up, sit down. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. So that means, oh, my God, that's the clue there. So that spiritual, powerful spirit force has the answers. You want to know how to make your life worth living? Then he's got to be consulted. He's got to be chased out and found while it is still day, because he knows what will make us happy. He knows what will give us the most joy. He knows what will help us prolong the life, that spark that he has put in us. And he also, upon the creative force opportunity, guess what? He had a plan. Let's get it, everyone. We don't have no plan. Well, I guess I'll do this. Well, I hope I'll do that. Well, perhaps I'll go over there. Maybe I'll do that. So basically, he, the creator, had a plan. So, okay, you know what? How to make my life worth living? Let me consult. Let me find this spirit force. Let me consult with him and find out what he wants me to do. Okay, well, his son gave us the clue. Go ye therefore and... He gave us a job. So when a person doesn't do the job that they're supposed to do, even in the natural way, he don't get paid. He don't get a dime. So quite naturally, if we as human beings were given a command or a commandment to do certain things to help make our life worth living, nothing else. His son didn't say go eat a humble humble pie. Go and destroy the Roman arena. Go and assassinate King Herod. Go and tell the Sanhedrin who the Son of Man was. None of that. That was not on the scorecard. He said, go ye therefore. And I'm not going to conclude that because Colonel Heston is a pastor here, so he can conclude that if he likes. But we've got to follow the guidance of the one that created us. That's the only way our life is going to be worth a living. We can have everything in the world, but if something, you know, is missing there, that's a problem. Wouldn't you agree, Colonel Heston? I know you would because you've written a book. How to get out of chaos, the answer, the solution to chaos now in the world. How can people get their hands on that book?
Well, Doc, they can get their hands on the book. It's online. If they access it online, the answer to the civil unrest in the land, Amazon.com, they can access it, and it's still there, and first, second edition, and it talks about basically what not so much a coronavirus, but it talks about unrest, civil disobedience, people being uncertain, being fearful, those kinds of things. So kind of touch on those things, but the overall thrust of it is based on civil disobedience. And so there's another disobedience. It's not so much civil disobedience, but there's a spiritual disobedience, and so we're in a quagmire here, and so we can seek God through prayer, and I encourage those to do that tomorrow. For an example, the subject of my sermon is hope in God, and I'll be preaching Facebook Live from the sanctuary. The church doors will be open because I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind.
Wow, well, you'd have to have that kind of personality now because many ministers are dropping like flies. They are, I guess they are fearful, but hold to the course, everyone, because the global vision for Living Today radio show has the content, as you can see, that you're going to need. And that's why we're going to encourage you to go to the www.ipforpeace.org because right now we have a special offer. For $100, you can become a charter member of not only this radio show, but the International Platform for Peace, www.ip4peace.org. If you sign up this month, March 2020, you get a t-shirt that shows who you are. You get Colonel Harrison's book, Dr. Harrison's book that he just spoke of. You also get two premium tickets to the Wake Up America tour that is occurring in Washington in July. And guess what else? You get a suitable for framing certificate that shows who you are and that shows you to be someone that really wants to help others lead a life worth living. So I want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Colonel. It's always, you know, a good opportunity to have you on the show because, you know, we get an opportunity to bounce back on comments. And while I'm sitting here, I can look at the dashboard. Sue's coming on. Sue's going off. And based on what's being said, who's coming on, who's going off, I get an opportunity to actually see what's going on. But do not be dismayed, listeners, audience. Of people, audience of the Creator, audience of your own soul. Do not forget, life is worth living, but you're going to have the instructions. You're going to have the manual. You're going to have to look at that and see what you must do to help make your life worth living. God bless you all. Have a great weekend. You are, because you're armed with this ammunition of good news. We'll look to hear from you. We'll look to speak to you. Next Saturday, same time, on the Global Vision for Living Today radio show.